If your life is short on charm, then a few leisurely days meandering the countryside of England is probably just what the doctor ordered. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Today's Travel with Rick Steves is dedicated to getting us out into the bucolic scenery of rural Britain. We'll open the phones a little later in the hour at 877-333-7425 to hear from listeners who've gotten out on their own to explore the landscapes of England and Scotland. Let's start our overview of pastoral Britain with Blue Badge certified guide Gillian Chadwick. She specializes in taking American visitors around her country. She's joined by Roy Nichols. He's a guide and historian who's based in the scenic landscapes of Dorset, which were celebrated in the works of Thomas Hardy. Gillian and Roy, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rick.
Hello.
I think about England, and of course we go to London, and we want to have it as a springboard to get out into the countryside. Gillian, you commute into London. Where do you live, actually?
I live near Brighton. At the foot of the Downs, the South Downs, which is one of the most popular walking routes in England.
Now, when I think of pastoral England, really South Downs comes to mind.
Absolutely.
What is it about the South Downs that causes you to want to live there?
Beautiful countryside, lovely villages, the most fantastic views imaginable from the top of the Downs.
What's a beautiful little village in the South Downs?
Ditchling.
Ditchling?
Where Vera Lynn lives.
Ah.
And that's the next village to me. Nobody famous lives in my village, except me, of course.
Right. That's even something charming about the villages is the names of them. And Roy, you and I were in Alfriston, right?
That's right. Many, many, many moons ago.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we met so many people down there just hiking. That's what they're doing. Mm. English people love to walk. What is it about this English passion for getting out and
walking? Well, I think it's a love of the countryside. Oddly enough, England is a very sort of urban society. But paradoxically, at the same time, you know, with the vast majority of living in cities, places like Birmingham, London, of course, Liverpool, Manchester, all the others, is that people have an idea of an image of the countryside, and being out and enjoying it, walking, really is what it's about.
Now, you live in Dorset.
Yeah.
Thomas Hardy country.
Yeah, that's right. It's about 30 miles southwest of Salisbury.
Now, when you say you have an image of what you want when you go out and walk and commune with nature, what is that image for you?
Well, it's that English idyll of thatched cottages, country lanes, woods, fields, very undramatic countryside. But
is it with a bright beating sun or with a sort of a misty drizzle?
More likely to be the misty drizzle in being in England. But I think there is. I think somebody once described England as being like a handmade quilt. And it isn't dramatic. It is man-made, but is like being in one enormous garden.
Mm. All my adult life, I've been going to places in England famous for great walks, but I haven't really done it justice and get out there and actually take some serious walks. In the last couple of years, my theme has been to get out and actually walk. The Cotswolds are altogether different when you actually take a hike, when you leave your car in one town and lace together three or four towns by walking. You don't walk the roads. You see the backyard of the barns.
You can't appreciate the Cotswolds unless you're on foot. You have to be amongst all the trees and the fields and the birds singing. And it's gorgeous.
You find different dimensions. What's the dimension of the Cotswolds you would find if you took a walk, Roy?
Well, it's getting to see those fields and woods and houses that are off the beaten track. That's the main thing. The English, or the British generally, take their walking very seriously. There are hundreds of thousands of miles of footpaths, bridleways, organized trailways, right across the length and breadth of Britain.
And just like Americans will defend their right to own a gun, the British defend their right to walk everywhere, don't they?
To walk, yes.
Yeah.
In some countries, like Scotland, there is an open access to the countryside. In England and Wales, it's more formal, where you have to keep to certain footpaths and things, but there are something like 300,000 miles of footpath in England alone.
Tell me about the mass trespass. I just love that.
Well, this was a period in the 1920s and 30s when so much land was still in the grasp of many of the traditional, almost feudal, medieval landowners. And for the first time, ordinary people were beginning to want access to their land, to their countryside. And so there was a whole period of people going out and deliberately breaking all the trespass rules.
Just in order to assert their right.
To establish and assert their right to be in the countryside.
So you can have a fence, but you need to provide a gate to get through it or over it. Is that right?
Famously, footpaths go through people's gardens. They go through... down in Dorset, Madonna used to live in Dorset. And regardless of who she was, where she lived, there was a footpath went straight across her front door.
She fought it, though, didn't she?
She did, but she didn't.
Madonna?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
Really? And she just didn't.
She couldn't believe that somebody could just walk across.
So Madonna met a force that she couldn't shape with her power, and that was the English determination to be able to walk across.
People have been walking along that footpath for hundreds of years, and nothing was going to stop it.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about pastoral Britain. We're joined by Gillian Chadwick and Roy Nichols, two friends of mine who are tour guides in beautiful Britain. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And David's on the line from Knoxville, Tennessee. David, thanks for your call.
Yes, how are you? I'm wondering if you could recommend St. Mary's in England with beautiful pastoral scenery and idyllic country villages that will be off the tourist path. Are there some really wonderful places that are not as well known for pastoral scenery that you might recommend?
Well, I can just easily direct you towards Dorset because it is my county, and although people know it because of Thomas Hardy and some of the other great writers, very few tourists, even in Britain, actually make it down to Dorset.
What do I know about Dorset?
Exactly.
Right? And I mean, I wrote a book about Britain. Honestly, I must have something in the book that is in Dorset. What town is in Dorset that
Cerne Abbas, the Cerne Abbas Giant.
Oh, yeah. Cerne Abbas. Okay, so this is if you're driving from London down to Land's End in Cornwall, you'll probably zip right through Dorset.
Dorset, the boundaries of Dorset starts 100 miles from the southwest of London. And it's a small county. You pass through it in 40, 50 miles. But it has quintessentially English countryside. There's lovely little fields, the hedgerows, thatch cottages galore, ancient monuments. There isn't anything that you can't find in Dorset.
But if you're going to go
like
to
England
Dorset,
encapsulated.
Why settle? Why not just go to Cornwall?
I love Cornwall, but everybody and his auntie goes to Cornwall during the summer months, and David is wanting to find somewhere that's off the beaten track, lots of footpaths, little villages, pubs.
So you got the charm of Cornwall without the intense tourism.
Exactly, and some of the most beautiful, both coastal and countryside scenery you'll find anywhere in the south of England.
And may I say that even closer to London is Sussex.
And what does it about Sussex?
Well, Sussex is just the best.
Sussex. What does that mean, Sussex?
So the land of the South Saxons.
South Saxons. Sussex. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So
and Wessex.
Of the West Saxons.
Norwich. Essex.
Essex.
Essex is the East Saxons.
Oh, I didn't realize. Sussex, Essex, Wessex.
Yeah.
And there is no North.
No, the North Saxons had no sex, so.
Well, there you go. Good tour guide
they
history.
They died out.
Okay, so we're talking about Dorset, Roy's county, as being charming like Cornwall without the tourists. How would you characterize Sussex? Well, you've got South
Downs.
It's
very similar countryside because it's chalk.
But that's the thing about England. And David, when you're wondering about this, you've got charm everywhere you look. Mm. I mean, get out of Birmingham, get out of Manchester, get out of London, take a small road. And you can find people just as proud of their county as Gillian
I think what also comes as a surprise to people is that Britain is a very small little island, 800 miles north to south. But the variety that you'll get, you take anybody from England, drop them in Sussex, drop them in Dorset, they'll know where they are by the
Will you know?
Well, the shape of the buildings, the way they designed, the way they built, the materials they use. It's a lot of flint in Sussex. We use a lot of what they call thatch and cob in Dorset. So it doesn't take you long to realize that you're in each. You can go 30 miles and have subtle differences.
Let's say I blindfold you and I take you to a pub.
And I've been most of the pubs in Dorset.
You would know most of them. But if I took you to one in Sussex and one in Dorset, could you open your eyes and know which county you were in?
Yeah.
What would you look for?
The types of beers they sell, for instance, because the local brewery will give you a good indicator because there are still lots of regional breweries and things.
Oh, yeah.
So there's all sorts of little subtle signs.
Little subtle things. But that is a beautiful thing about traveling in Britain, is the diversity and the charm. Thank you very much, David, for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wayne's on the phone in Columbus, Ohio. Wayne, thanks for your call.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on pastoral Britain? Any questions for Roy and Gillian?
My family and I, we visited the Cotswolds area this past September, and we spent about 3 days there, stayed at Stowe, and I noticed that when we traveled, the horses, when we talked to people, they said horses had right-of-ways on the roads, the little country lanes, and we went into various pubs in Stowe and a couple other towns, and I was amazed how the people just brought in their dog into the pub, sat at the table and ate with them, and I was just curious, is this something that's just in the Cotswolds area, or is that something in all of English countryside?
No, it's all over the country.
So the dogs will sit at the table and eat with you?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, not the horses,
though. No, the horses weren't.
I've got a border collie called Meg. She comes to the pub with me 9 times out of 10.
Do you know the little pub in downtown Keswick that is called the Dog and...
Dog and Gun.
Yeah. Dog and Gun.
Yeah.
There's a dog menu. There's all that. You got to step over all the dogs. And it's just like the humans and the dogs share the place.
Yeah.
That's the difference between England and America. You can take your dog in the pub, but you can't take your gun. Whereas in America, you can take your gun, but you can't take your dog.
Whoa, now we're talking. I think so. Dogs are just part of the scene all over Europe.
Yeah.
And a lot of Americans just kind of go... I can't eat this food here because it might have a dog's hair on it, you know.
Well, it's more the humans you have to worry about, I would have thought, to be honest.
Yeah. They don't charge extra for hair,
no,
do they?
No, not at all.
That's right. So, Wayne, tell us more about your pub experience with dogs.
Well, I was just amazed. We ate and drank at the pub in Stowe. It was crowded with people. There must have been 3 or 4 dogs, and they just quietly came and just part of the family sat quietly at the table.
Wayne, I think you've put your finger on it, is the very fact that it's like being in a family home.
Public
house. It's a public house. It's a social center. It's not a place just to go and get food, just to go and get alcohol.
It's a place to be with your community.
It's a place to be with your friends, your family, and part of that family is your dog.
Bring your mom, bring your kids, bring your dog.
Anybody. There are some pubs that have no dogs rule, but the good pubs allow dogs.
Great.
All right. Good luck on your travels, Wayne. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. More on Pastoral Britain with Roy Nichols, Gillian Chadwick, and your calls in just a moment.
The shepherd will tend his sheep. The valley will bloom again. And Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.